The Meadowlands Arena this Monday night, as we've talked about, an incredible array of talent all under one roof of the World Wrestling Federation Television Network. The very opening bout right at 7:30. Billy Jack Haynes, the master of the Full Nelson, against the King. A live Piper's Pit with the host, Rowdy Roddy Piper. And what a main event it's going to be. Talk about a tag team war. The Honky Tonk Man teaming with the Intercontinental Champion, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, against the duo of Ricky, the Dragon Steamboat, and his partner, the Heavyweight Champion of the World, Hulk Hogan. And despite all your protests this week, you're now well aware the clause in the contract stands, and it will be Ricky, the Dragon Steamboat, and Hulk Hogan.
You're an idiot, man. You're an idiot. You just hold on right there. Tighten up. Yeah, because that's what I'm going to do is tighten up, because I know that the protest is valid. And this Monday night in the Meadowlands is Black Monday. Yeah, that's right. Never before in the World Wrestling Federation has one wrestler set new heights. Never before attained in the World Wrestling Federation. And you, President Jack Tunney, yeah, you're a jealous man. You couldn't take it. And Hulk Hogan, you can't take it either. We know that the Dragon couldn't take it. And we know that the Dragon has vindictive emotion running through his veins. And I say that the Dragon, he'll burn by his own fire. Tag team competition with all the deck stacked against the Macho Man, Randy Savage. This Monday night, Black Monday, in the Meadowlands. Guess what, yeah? Tag team competition, the Macho Man spit on Hulk Hogan, on Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, on President Jack Tunney, and me and the Honky Tonk Man. We're going to get everybody to take a walk on the wild side.
Hello, Kelly Nelson here for another episode of The Greatness of Randy Savage. Today we're going to be looking at two matches. We're going to be looking at the last match from 1986 for Randy Savage and the first one from 1987. And going through this DVD, I have skipped a few things. I haven't skipped any of the matches, but I've skipped like the in-between parts. There's a running commentary in between a few of the matches with Corey Graves, Diamond Dallas Page, Bailey. And I think there's somebody else. Oh, yeah, Sean Mooney, of course. How could I forget him? And they talk about Savage. And some of the... I've watched a little bit of one of them, and it's actually some pretty... There's some pretty good insight there. But for the purposes of a podcast, I'm not going to be talking over those. I mean, there's no point. And I've skipped the... There's some vignettes that they include on this DVD. One that... precedes this match I'm just about to talk about, September 10th, 1986, called Macho Lifestyles. Basically is WWF trying to do Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, a ripoff of that with Gene Okerlund interviewing Savage and Elizabeth poolside at their palatial home, which I'm not sure if it was actually their home or maybe it was even filmed at like Vince's place in Stamford or Greenwich or wherever the heck he was living at that time. So yeah, anyway, I'm just going to stick to the matches for these reviews, although I probably could have talked over the Mean Gene visit to Savage and Elizabeth's palatial home and probably had some funny things to say, but oh well. So, first up today is Randy the Macho Man Savage versus Troy Martin. Who is Troy Martin? I think we're going to recognize him when we start watching this. So, of course, from the main menu, go to chapters, go to next once, next again, next one more time, and it's at the bottom here, Randy Savage versus Troy Martin, September 13th, 1986. So we'll do the countdown, and we'll start. 3, 2, 1, go. And now we're into the, I was going to say we're into the Superstars and Challenge era of WWF wrestling, and we are. This is either Challenge or Superstars. And Troy Martin, boy, he looks familiar. That is a very young Shane Douglas, Dean Douglas, if you will. He had only been wrestling for a short while at this point, trained by the great Dominic DiNucci, in the same class as Cactus Jack McFoley. And yeah, both him and Foley did job duty on quite a few shows around this time, TV tapings for the WWF. So Savage, of course, the Intercontinental Champion. And that robe is beautiful, all gold, matching the belt that he now holds. Elizabeth looking as beautiful as ever. And this will be interesting. There's a good chance I probably saw this when it aired for the first time, because this is when just about a month before they did the production upgrade for Superstars and Challenges, when I started watching WWF regularly. So by September 86, I was watching pretty much every week. This is definitely Superstars, because we have Vince and Jesse on commentary. Vince just said Macho Man is one of the most arrogant individuals in professional wrestling. Bruno got in a quip right after that made Vince do his trademark laugh. I don't hear Jesse. Jesse maybe was not back yet from filming Predator. He took some time off in 86. Anyway, here we go. Lock up. Takedown by Macho. Macho's not someone you think of as a wrestler that worked the mat very often in matches. He was pretty much all action. But this is still, a Macho Man that hasn't become totally standardized and where every match is almost the same. He's still got a bit of a hold over in his offense from his territory years. And I'm sure in some of those matches when he was working for NWA territories, he probably wrestled some guys where they had to work the mat. I'd love to see something like that turn up. Because he worked in Memphis, of course, before the WWF, and mat work wasn't exactly considered a big deal in that territory. We had Pedro Morales cut an insert promo there on Macho. They were working house shows, of course, at this time. Last episode we looked at the match between Savage and Morales from Madison Square Garden. Wow. So Savage is really taking it to Douglas into the crowd. See, Savage, just even in these jobber squash matches, went above and beyond the call of duty. Got the crowd invested, even though this is, there's no doubt to what the outcome of this match is going to be by anyone in the crowd. Douglas looking not too bad for a rookie here, but that's all he's going to do today. Probably had several matches on this taping, actually. Nice looking elbow smash. Cocky cover, that's Savage trademark in the early days. And yeah, another victory for the Intercontinental Champion, Randy the Macho Man Savage. Wonder if Savage and Douglas ever cross paths again in the ring. I can't really think of when that would have happened, because Douglas did come back in 1990 for like a lower mid-card babyface run. He may have wrestled Savage at that time. Actually, there's a really good chance, because Savage was a heel, a Macho King Randy Savage, and Douglas was a babyface. But then after that, I'm not sure if they would have ever crossed paths again, because when Douglas came to WWF as Dean Douglas, Savage was gone, of course. And then Savage, of course, never wrestled in ECW, so they never had the opportunity there. So this is January 5th, 1987. This is a very interesting match. I've seen this one before. This was from the Meadowlands. And first off, we have an interesting tag team here, the Heels, because we have Randy Savage and the Honky Tonk Man teaming up. And for those who know WWF wrestling from 1987, later in the year, when Savage turns babyface, these two have a long feud. So this is very unusual with them teaming up, and it just doesn't feel right, considering when you think Savage and Honky Tonk, you just think of them feuding and never teaming with each other. And then this team, the Babyface team, is also rather unusual in this match. We have Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who, I don't know, this may have been his comeback taping after selling the injuries from the angle where Macho Man hit him with the ring bell. And then, of course, Steamboat's tag partner, the world champion, WWF world champion, Hulk Hogan, making his first appearance here on the Greatness of Randy Savage podcast. And I said it was a strange team kind of for the babyfaces because, in my mind anyway, Hogan teaming with Steamboat just feels weird. It's almost like the jock, most popular football player at school teaming up with, like, not a nerd, but like a more of an art student type, someone that's a little, wasn't super popular. Yeah, it just, for whatever reason, it feels odd that Hogan and Steamboat are teaming. Wow. We get off to an interesting start with Savage. Savage is in, like, full Memphis mode here. He threw a chair into the ring, and I think it struck the referee. The referee was down anyway. I don't know if that was by accident or what. Crazy. In this match, you may be wondering where this, what TV show this was on. This was not on Superstars. This was not on Challenge. This match only aired, as far as I know, internationally on a show called, I believe, International Challenge, if I'm not mistaken, or International Wrestling Challenge. And I think it aired in places like England and Australia, but it never aired in North America at the time. And we have Vince and Bruno on commentary yet again. And it's funny, I remember I watched this years ago and I did a short little write-up about it on PWO. And I remember commenting how they don't reference really the angle between Steamboat and Savage or the feud between Steamboat and Savage for whatever reason. Or not that much anyway, and Steamboat doesn't really wrestle here like he's, you know, out for revenge against Macho Man, even though that was a huge heated angle. And you would think, like, that's, if this was Steamboat's one of his first matches back and against his first time in the ring against Savage since that angle, you'd think he'd be out for blood, but the WWF, as we know, didn't really do things how you would think they perhaps should or how other territories would work them. Even in 1980, well, this is early 1987, they were toning down on the heat in a lot of ways, not going, there was blood was being slowly phased out, and by the middle of 1987 would be pretty much gone from matches. And yeah, they just didn't, definitely, they had some hot angles, but they didn't really follow up with a lot of crazy matches. Savage and Steamboat, of course, have the legendary match at WrestleMania 3, and they also have a match in Toronto in February that is out there that was filmed at Maple Leaf Gardens and was not really shown much at all anywhere, I'm not sure. But anyway, it's out there now, and that match is wrestled like a blood feud. And yeah, there's blood, of course, and Savage is wrestling it like a man possessed who wants to kill Savage. I highly recommend finding that match if you haven't seen it. February 15th. I believe, 1987, Maple Leaf Gardens. And that was definitely an outlier because you could get away with doing things, I guess, on the Maple Leaf Garden shows that you wouldn't normally get away with because those shows were under the radar. And that match was wrestled like a territory blood feud match. But yeah, I mean, I guess they're acknowledging that they're feuding, and I'm not sure on commentary if they reference the angle with the bell into the throat. For some reason, like I said, when I wrote that review years ago, I remember writing that they didn't acknowledge it, but I could be mistaken. Anyway, here's an interesting pairing. You have Hogan and a man that he basically vouched for to get into the WWF because they knew each other from years ago in Memphis and maybe other places. And Hogan kind of opened the door for him, I think, in the WWF. And even when Honky Tonk started in WWF, he was pushed as a babyface. And in one of his first appearances, if not his first appearance, Hogan basically, they did a promo together, like a backstage promo, where Hogan gave him the rub and put him over. And of course, the attempts at making Honky Tonk Man were a spectacular failure, but it ended up being a blessing in disguise because he got so much heat from the fans right away as a heel because they hated him because he was, just hard to cheer a Elvis impersonator as a babyface. That they turned it into an angle where the fans turned on him and they did a vote of confidence where they voted no or nay. I think it was yay, vote yay or nay. And they voted nay for Honky Tonk, and that was his heel turn. And that ended up being great because Honky Tonk's an awesome heel, and he had a great run as a heel in the WWF, winning, of course, the Intercontinental title from Ricky Steamboat in 1987. And then having a superheated feud with Savage. So all these guys are very interconnected in a lot of ways. Hogan and Savage had a long house show run starting in late 1985 and going into 86. And then, of course, we all know their future together. They're constantly intertwined going ahead, going forward. The big fist drop off the top rope by Honky Tonk, straight out of Jerry the King Lawler's playbook. Honky Tonk, when I first got into wrestling in the summer of 86, he was in Stampede Wrestling. He was known as Honky Tonk Wayne, and he was basically the top heel. He held the North American title. He was feuding with Bad News Allen, I remember. And Bad News had returned to the territory and was now a babyface, believe it or not. Even calling himself Good News Allen. Anyway, but that was just the tail end of Honky Tonk Man in Calgary. He was gone by, you know, after a month or so of me watching wrestling full-time or regularly. And went, of course, to the WWF. And then I knew him as a heel, and so I immediately thought it was strange that, oh, here he is in the WWF as a babyface. But of course, like I just said, that didn't last long. He's a natural heel. And the Elvis thing is great for getting heat. Elvis impersonators was such a big thing in the 80s. You'd always hear about them. And another big thing in the 80s was headlines in like tabloid papers that Elvis lives and Elvis faked his death in 1977 and he's actually alive and here's what he looks like. I can remember the one, I think it was like the Weekly World News or whatever, that black and white tabloid with the most outrageous stories. The front page was a picture of what Elvis was supposed to look like in 1987 or whatever, and he was bald, of course, and still heavy. And I remember seeing that. And I remember I was so naive and young and just believed if, you know, if it was in the paper, it had to be true. I can remember like seeing that and like pointing it out to my mom or whatever and saying, look, Elvis is alive. Jeez. Hogan was just at the peak of his powers at this time. This has been a pretty good match. Bumping like crazy. Savage was just a beast in this match. This was a huge crowd too. I looked at this taping. It's a memorable taping. I think this may have even been the taping where they did the Piper's Pit where Andre turned on Hogan. I could be mistaken. It definitely was the taping where Demolition first appeared with the original Smash, which was Randy Colley, the former Moondog Rex. And that would, of course, only last, I think, maybe one other taping before Barry Dorso came in and became Smash. But yeah, this was like near 20,000 in attendance crowd, I believe. Oh, honky. From the outside, Hogan is not taking that. Yeah, this match is kind of wild. Almost atypical in a lot of ways. A lot of outside the ring stuff. And now here we go. There's the ring bell. So yeah, this is a direct reference to the angle. So never mind what I was saying earlier. It looked like a fan jumped out of the crowd, and he did. He's being held back. So much heat here. Now Steamboat has the bell. Oh. Yeah. Just a tease. And that's all you're going to get. Savage is bailing. Honky's still here. Jimmy Hart without his sunglasses for some reason. Now this will be catharsis. Cathartic for the fans to see the baby faces, even though Savage left, they're gonna get some redemption here. And especially, you can always beat up Jimmy, get good heat for that. The referee has just basically ended the match because, well, you can't ring the bell now because it's in the ring. So I'm assuming this was a double DQ. Vince just said that the match ended some time ago. Double DQ or a DQ or maybe even a count out for Savage leaving, I don't know. Steamboat is vowing revenge. So we have Hogan and Steamboat winning by disqualification. Unusual match, unusual teams. You wouldn't see those combinations going forward too much, if at all. Okay, so there we go. We are done for the day. Here is the round table I was talking about earlier, but we'll stop here and join me again. Next time we'll be looking at another couple matches from 1987. Actually, the only other matches from 1987 on the DVD. All right. See you then. Bye-bye. I'm gonna